My name is Ella, and I make Ella Bella Beads bracelets.
Ella's bracelets raise money for the Children's Hunger Project.
They're really pretty.
At American Family Insurance, we believe you're never too young to have a dream. So today, we're supporting Ella's.
My dream is to sell a gazillion bracelets so that no kids are hungry.
Every dream deserves a champion. Find your dream champion at AmFam.com. American Family Insurance.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Hey, Internet, welcome to the ROI of Y show, your number one podcast for all things business as it relates to impact and purpose. My name is Andrew Tuzon. I am the Vice President of Creative at Firespring. And once again, I am joined by my very lovely partner in crime, Miss Angie Kubicek. How are you?
Doing great.
Good. Have you hit your coffee quota for the day?
Oh, no. I have like four more to go. We're early. It's not even noon yet. Well, so I've got a few more in me.
Here's to kidney stones, right?
Hey, you know, whatever makes the day go by, right?
So this episode is going to be an amazing ride, I think.
Yeah.
I'm really excited for this conversation. Today, we are at the Do More Good Conference in Lincoln, Nebraska. It's day two. Quick shout out to Do More Good. They are the sponsor of today's show. They were kind enough to, you know, do the thing and back us, which is always awesome. Yeah, they really are. And if you guys aren't aware of the Do More Good Conference, make sure you hop online, domoregoodconference.com. You can learn all about the conference itself, the lineup of speakers, just the tremendous amount of impact that they're, you know,
and there actually, there's a partner program on the domoregoodconference.com.
Yeah, that's right.
So if you're a company that's thinking about, you know, we want to go down our path to purpose and you're just getting started, that might be a really good starting point. And it's just your commitment to being focused on impact. So check that out as well.
Yeah, amazing resources in there. A lot of amazing community focused components as well, as we've heard in some of our previous episodes. Yeah. So yeah, check that out. And always poke us on social media if you have questions too. Both of us are happy to hop in and, you know, just point you in the right direction.
We love it.
Yeah, we'll help out where we can. So today, we're talking to Ed O'Boyle, right?
You are. Yeah, we are.
We are.
We are. I will
participate. What do you mean I am?
I know. I will participate. Like, I'm actually going to go eat now. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Bye, homie.
Good luck.
So Angie, like, maybe give us kind of a 35,000 foot view of like what to expect today. What do you think we're going to be focusing on?
So what I love about like Ed's perspective, and we're going to talk about him as if he's not in the room, which is always fun, but his background at Gallup, they have most comprehensive view of information and their ability to survey and to connect with people and to really understand the nuances of the workplace. I think for me, I did just listen to his session, and it just makes you really be introspective as a leader within your team. And when you hear some of the stats that you're throwing out, like 52% of the workplace is currently looking for a new job, I immediately was like, oh gosh, I could think of a couple team members who could maybe fall into that. And that the leaders, when they're overstressed, that's when their teams aren't getting the communication. And so just as we think about impact, a lot of times we think about the impact in our communities and that level of work outward, but sometimes we all have to start inward before we can even go out and be effective. And so I'm really intrigued to hear what Ed thinks about some of the things that he's thrown at us today.
Well, let's jump in, right?
Yeah.
So Ed, thank you so much for joining us on the show today. It's awesome to have you here.
It's really awesome to be here. Thanks for including me.
You bet. This is going to be a fun conversation. We're both very much looking forward to it. So before we jump into all things that focus on, you know, your career and the impact that you're providing for the world, let's learn a little bit about you. Where are you from? What do you do? You know, for our listeners across the country that maybe aren't super familiar with who you are, just give us a little background, right?
Absolutely. So a little background. I was born and raised in New York, and I currently live here in Omaha, Nebraska.
Okay.
And I've had a journey around the country, worked at different places, lived in different places, which I do think gives me a little bit of perspective on how our country works and how some of the values and rituals are different in California than they are in the South and things like that.
For sure.
And my job here at Gallup is, I think, probably one of the coolest jobs in the world. I actually have three primary responsibilities. I work with the research teams to try and discover new insights about what's driving us as human beings to make decisions on where we want to work, what we want to buy, and what we want to do with our lives. Mm-hmm. I also work in our consulting practice to try and actually implement some of these ideas inside of organizations to get them to go change. And then when those two things don't work, I work on a team of people who actually try and figure out how to do it differently and do it better. Call it innovation, but call it creativity, call it problem solving. But I work with that team to try and do those things. So a lot of my job's on the road, meeting with people, talking with them, trying to figure out what's up in their world, and trying to drive the change that everybody wants to be.
Yeah, so it's like all the hats, the whole spectrum, soup to nuts, all the things, right? Yeah,
jack of all trades.
How many hours do you sleep a night, man?
Part of our well-being initiative says that you really do need to get 6 to 7 hours of sleep in order to have a good life. So I try and adhere to that, although unfortunately some of it's on an airplane.
I mean, sleep is sleep.
Right.
Right.
Is so, it?
No, it's not.
No, yeah. No, it's not.
So Angie mentioned a couple of statistics that you had shared with the audience in your talk today here at the Do More Good Conference. You know, we don't have as much time as you had on the platform today, but can you give us maybe like a high level 35,000 foot view Cliff Notes version of just some of these heavy hitting statistics?
Sure. Yeah. So a couple just to get us warmed up. The first one is I'll give you a number called 15. That number is today throughout the world, 15% of the people who came to work for the companies that they work for are engaged in their job. Engaged in their job
are
means
engaged.
Are engaged, meaning 85% are not engaged at work.
So if they're not engaged, does that mean that they're like unhappy, very, very like not being fulfilled? Like when you guys define not engaged, what does that mean?
It's a really good question because there's three categories, right? There's engaged, which are the people that you want to be working with, who are coming up with creative ideas all day. They're the ones who find solutions instead of just problems, those kinds of people. Mm-hmm. Then there's the not engaged category, which you can describe their everyday kind of as an adventure for them. Some days they'll come in and be all in and really work hard. Other days they'll kind of be leaning back and not doing much. That's about half the workplace. And then the third category is the actively disengaged workers, which are ones that you were describing, which are the people who come in and are actively trying to disrupt work or be conscientious objectors
like
to it.
Toxic, so, right?
Yeah. Okay. Anti-culture, anti-organization. Sure. We actually describe them a little bit as prisoners because a lot of times they're at that job, particularly throughout the world. If you leave the United States for a minute, finding a good job is hard in places like Italy and other nations. And so you can be disengaged at work because it's the only thing that's going to pay the bills for your family and take care of what you really need to do as a provider. So
it's like you got to do what you got to do mentality, right?
Yeah, because not everybody who's disengaged is there just to be bad to the organization. And so the idea is if you take that 15 and spin it into the U.S., it's 34, which is great, right? It's twice the rest of the world.
Yeah.
Yay. It's still a third.
Yeah.
but there is what that gives you is hope, right? Because the hope is if you can do it for 34% of the people, you can really understand why those 34 are coming with that energy. And then you as a leader can start to consider what changes you can make in order to do it more often. Mm-hmm. So when it's 15, it's hard because there are functional institutional changes that have to be made in order to drive that forward. So
is that 15, 34, are those variables like dynamic, right? Like, do you see a lot of swing and change with those year after year? Are they pretty constant?
God, I'd love to say it's dynamic and it swings all the time. It's really a flat line, which is the sad truth of the matter is that we've invested here in the United States billions of dollars in engagement programs.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And I think some of that money has been put into the right place and much of it has been put into the wrong place. So a lot of times we talk about engagement and we think that it's pizza party Friday afternoon or forced cocktails after work, or we need a volleyball court, or boy, a foosball and ping pong table will actually make us more engaged in work. Well, when the truth is that we know you come to work for a reason, right? You have a job, you're supposed to produce something for the organization. So how do we make that more central to the workplace as opposed to the things that are outside of it?
That almost like are then compensate for the dullness or the droning through your day. And that's not necessarily solving the problem. So as there's been just a ton of investment into this space, what are the things that you think people are getting right when it comes to identifying how to engage people and grow that?
That's a great question. So there's a couple of things that people are doing that I think is really advanced. The first one is they're investing in their managers to give them the tools that they need in order to do their job. Some of that is in learning, teaching them how to be a better manager and understanding that. Mm-hmm. The second one is that we've taken it just out of the classroom and we're mm-hmm. starting to put it into, you know, a lot of people are talking about nudges and things out there. So ways to actually communicate. Sometimes it's an app, sometimes it's a text message or a quick email or things like that. Just reminding managers to do the right thing. A lot of times they're not neglecting this because they don't want to do it. It's mm-hmm. that they don't have the tools in order to easily kind of implement that.
Just that like subtle nudge, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we're giving them tools to try and understand themselves and their coworkers a little bit better. And having those conversation starters, I think mm-hmm. really are some of those foundational things.
So then are you finding that companies that have like that are resource rich are able to do, obviously probably do those practices a little bit better? So where can that start within the workplace? We're really spoiled at FireSpring that we have a certified Clifton Strengths coach on our team. And so I can go knock on Molly's door and be like, Molly, I'm struggling to do this. We'll go through my strengths and she'll help me coach me through it. And that's, I know, a luxury, right? So how can maybe some of the smaller enterprises that are building up that are currently strapped and stressed apply some of those engagement?
Yep. It's, so we've made it, we at Gallup have tried to make it more accessible to mm-hmm. people. We have a platform called Gallup Access that we use in order to enable people to be able to understand their strengths and do micro engagement surveys with their teams and get feedback on that. And then there's a battery of real time in the moment learning, mm-hmm. Materials that are there. It's funny, you mentioned that, you know, the big organizations with lots of resources. In many ways, having lots of resources isn't really the solution to this, because then you try and institutionalize things and
true.
You spend a lot of money. And remember, if 34% of people are engaged, that means that, let's just say, around 30% of managers are also engaged. So you have to infuse some energy in them,
yeah.
or else they're not going to go look for those materials. And so I think there's a lot of things, and I'll make an old statement, but there's a lot of things gathering dust that were good intentioned
yeah.
that are out there that people have made massive investments in. And so it really is about encouraging collaboration. It's great to have a coach inside of the office who's a certified mm-hmm. coach, but it's also great to have a best friend and somebody who you go,
so true.
You know what? The two of us are going to connect on work, and we're going to talk about how our work is coming to life and outside stressors. And so just so those things actually can help in any size organization to find a network of like-minded people in order to talk and communicate with. And it's getting interesting. You know, Microsoft has come out with new 360, and there's Teams yeah. and things like that. And a lot of organizations are starting to adopt that. And it's making communication easier with each other, as opposed to, I don't know about your organization, but I'll have, when I'm done today with this session, I'm going to have about 120 emails that I'm supposed to deal with.
Yes.
And I don't,
just had the email conversation.
and I don't want to.
Yeah.
But I don't mind getting on the team one, because I work on client teams, and diving in, and somebody's like, oh, we just came out of the field. Here's something really interesting, and you can like it or talk about it. Or you can say, hey, I haven't heard from any, knock, knock. What's going on, everybody? What are you working on?
Yeah.
And you'll get those one-liners, as opposed to a lot of times when people open a new email, they feel like they're drafting the Gettysburg Address and they have to write something that's perfect and pristine. But on those other platforms, it's like, I'm having a rough day. Great, call me.
Yeah, we use Slack a lot for that. And it yeah. has really streamlined team efficiencies as well as collaborations. And yeah, it's just kind of been a game changer for me personally, working in an organization mm-hmm. where I am across different teams, but it's such a great way to stay plugged in with people without writing
yeah,
a
I
huge
love it.
Novel.
The gifts are fun too. You know?
They are. We do a lot of gifting.
yes. Sometimes you can, I saw a presentation last week. The entire presentation was GIFs, and the points were all being made through the rock.
That's my love language.
Well, you don't need words if you can have a good GIF.
That is right.
So you mentioned earlier, we were talking about like the things, right, that we think could fix the problem, the ping pong table, the, you know, the ancillary crap, mm-hmm. right? So like when I was a kid, my dad, he taught me everything I know about being an entrepreneur, my work ethic, all these things. He did a great job like setting me up for success in that, right? And one thing that he said to me that stuck with me forever was like, you're going to chase all the stuff out here that you think is going to make you happy, right? But unless you're happy in here first, none of that garbage matters. So That being said, with your guys' research and everything that you're doing and identifying these like huge chasms with respect to just like disengagement and dissatisfaction, have you guys been able to poke at the source? Is there a singular source? Is it multiple things? Like, what's driving that level of just disengagement?
Oh, this is a really cool conversation. Okay, so it's been a while, but we created something in our labs around the science of well-being. We call it well-being, and there's five dimensions of it. And I actually think that well-being is what you're poking at right now. Mm-hmm. And so there isn't a single answer. There's really five of them, right? So if you think about the domains of well-being, the first and most important one is your career. So how do you define your purpose in life through the work that you do? Mm-hmm. And by the way, being a stay-at-home mom is a career. It's a purpose in life. Being a volunteer, if you're retired, that's part of it too. So finding your groove, if you will, and really bringing that to life is career well-being. Mm-hmm. The other one is community well-being. It's the people around you and the place that you live. Is that giving you energy? And is it part of who you are? And are you in the right place? The third one is social well-being. We are social beings. We need to talk to each other in mm-hmm. order to drive change, which is why some of these artificial ways of communicating we struggle with. And so who are our networks? Who energizes us? Both inside, but also outside of the workplace. The next one is, where was I? Career. Community, social, financial well-being. Mm-hmm. And financial well-being isn't about being rich. Financial well-being is about having the resources that you need in order to live a life that you're looking for. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in fact, we find that more money, more problems kind of a thing.
Preach.
And so a lot of times people will, in $75,000 to $100,000 pay ranges, have the best well-being. And it's because it's about knowing how to manage your money and manage for your future is much more important. And where you put your money in terms of experiences that you have with friends mm-hmm. and family actually fuel you more, also fuel the other ones of community and social. Mm-hmm. And then the last one is physical. And most organizations today, when you hear the word well-being, executives hear the word healthcare cost, and right. they think about mm-hmm. obesity and smoking cessation and workout rooms and things like that. By the way, all of those are great. We should be doing those for mm-hmm. sure. But that's not well-being in its entirety. And we're hearing more and more conversation about this. We kind of think inside of Gallup that we invented it probably 10 years too early, and that's mm-hmm. going to have a resurgence, and people really trying to understand what is the organization's role in managing our well-being, creating environments for us to have well-being, and then also how to become thriving in well-being, mm-hmm. which is the big outcome you're going for. So I guess it is kind of one thing, well-being, but well-being isn't just one thing. Because what's important to you from a career standpoint, I may have social being my most important. And mm-hmm. it's a matter of, as a manager, understanding that and driving that kind of conversation.
Right,
so,
right.
And we all know people that we work with who are career well-being people
sure. yes.
who are like, okay, what's my next assignment? What am I going to do? And then where does this go? Great.
Yep.
Then you as a manager can have the intuition to have a better conversation right. with them, which is somebody who's going to come in and work super hard, but it's like my family matters most to me, or it matters most to me for the next 5 years. And then you also know how to manage that person.
Yeah, finding that balance is not an easy thing,
no.
right? Like it's, you got to draw some lines in the sand and then stick to them. And then it's all the plates are in the air.
And I feel like that's where workplaces really struggle, is helping, being okay with people having different defined priorities and supporting people, and then developing teams that are dynamic and fluid enough to let people have their priorities, but still get the things done at the end of the day.
I agree. And I think too many people like think it's almost a game of gotcha.
Yeah.
Right? Like, so at FireSpring, we have unlimited paid vacation. Right.
Right.
And at my company that I owned before I sold to FireSpring, we offered the exact same thing. I never took it, right? Because I was always there making sure all the things were being done. And it took me a serious amount of time after going to FireSpring to not feel guilty for taking that time, right? And I think a lot of people think that that's like the game or the gimmick, right?
Well,
it's not genuine or...
Yeah, and I, you could probably back this up, but I've read research that says that when you have that open vacation policy, people don't actually take it.
They take less.
And they take way less. And so I actually have a person on my team where I reviewed her, or we did her coaching session, and she hadn't taken a day off in like 6 months. So I literally had to plot with her like her time off to be like, no, you need to not be here.
Yeah.
We will survive. I love that you're dedicated, but... we will continue to be okay. And now she takes quarterly vacations and
go
trips.
Ride a bike.
I'm like, go, go be.
Well, it's really, so I'm going to tip my age a little bit. When I first started working, I was at a bank in a management program and I was working 80 hours a week and doing everything. Yeah. And I remember because I was at that point working for the CEO. And I walked in and I said, hey, I know there's a whole bunch of stuff going on. I'm going to cancel my vacation. Uh-huh. And he taught me a life lesson, and I was like 24 when he taught it to me. And he said, close the door, sit down, and basically said, if you are a valued employee, I never want you to take a vacation. So you always need to take a vacation when you want to, and we have to adjust to that. And I tell my people that all the time. It's a conversation I have with everybody in the workplace. Yeah. You need a break. You need to be able to go escape for a weekend,
yeah,
or not feel guilty about taking a Wednesday off because you got something you want to go do Tuesday night and you're not going to be fresh in the office, but you do it on your schedule and then we adjust as opposed to the other way around. And so I thank him very much for that life lesson, and
yeah,
it was pretty
huge.
Early on, and it's something you get to talk to people about because we at Gallup too have an unlimited time off policy, and some people will say, hey, we have a lot of people from around the world who say, you know, I'm going to go home, visit my family, and I'm going to be gone for, you know, 3 weeks or a month because
right.
It's a long trip. And and we want them to go do that. And inadvertently, they always wind up online a weekend
thing,
going,
right?
Hey, what's going on? Do you need me for anything? So when you give people flexibility in work to define when, how, and why mm-hmm. they want to do it, you get more productivity because you get them, because 11 o'clock in the morning isn't most or everyone's most productive time of day.
Right.
So why do we insist on you sitting here doing something at 11 o'clock
right.
in the morning?
Minus 4 in the morning.
Yeah, I was
going to
say,
right.
You're like a 3
yeah.
a.m.er, yep. which I appreciate because there are moments I'm also a 3 a.m.er.
Oh,
and,
nice.
Yeah,
it's Slack more at 3 a.m.
Well, usually that's like my get things done time because yep. no one else is slacking me. So it's amazing. But I do think you touched on something and I would love your perspective. And we kind of talked about it in a prior episode where we are no longer technically in today's society, especially with the technology at our fingertips in this 8-to-5 world. We have, I think, what are some core business hours because of meetings and mm-hmm. Simulation there. But what is your take on kind of the fluidity of people working? I feel like now people feel like they have to be always on because we have our mobile devices. And so your computer is with you at all times. So there's almost this no excuse. So what are you seeing as you kind of have looked globally at this?
So in the United States, it's probably the worst in terms of not turning off. I don't know if you remember.
Not shocked.
last year, there was actually some legislation that was passed in France that required people not to use their or send emails on weekends and after hours.
Oh, really?
So it required organizations not to do that. And it's funny because when we saw that, we actually did a quick pulse survey of the American people to find out who was and wasn't and whether or not that was a good idea. 85% of us didn't think that was a very good idea because we wanted to do it on our own terms. Mm-hmm. But then the other thing was 34% actually knew what their company's policy was around this.
Oh, really? Wow.
And that study, funny, it did change a little bit of my behavior around it because of my work week on the weekends, I will tend to send a lot of emails out mm-hmm. trying to catch up with people and things
yeah.
like that. And now I've started just putting them all into a file and not sending them out. Or if I do send them out, I write in the header, you don't need to look at this until Monday, because you're creating an expectation that if you're sending
yes.
it, somebody's supposed to respond to it. So how do you make sure that you're mirroring the kind of behavior that you want people to get to? And then on the other occasion, there are some things that do have to happen outside of work hours. And if you're sending that and you want a response, what's the right way to go do that? But you know, when we talk about the future of work and how work has changed just in the last 10 years, stable internet and the ability to remote into stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because we said we had stable internet 10 years ago. try doing a conference call with people.
Oh, man.
Three times dialing back in,
right.
apologizing, going, yeah, yeah. And trying to load a presentation or something that you want to share with someone. Good luck there. And it's now gotten to the point where people can actually work almost anywhere and mm-hmm. at any time. It's how do you manage that and how do you work through that is the real thing. And that's where managers really do need to come in and set the right standards of behavior and just make sure that people are aware. So if everybody's aware, as a manager, you're going to send things out on the weekend, but I don't need to respond to that. That's a good thing. Because nobody loves getting to work on Monday morning with 30 in emails at 8 o'clock. It's right. Like, okay, great. The week has just gotten off to an awesome start.
Right. That expectation setting and like drawing the line in the sand, though, your weekend routine, I'm going to adopt that. Because I am so bad about that. My OCD drives me for inbox zero like at every hour of the day. But I think that's like super powerful. Right, like I really dig that. Good. Thank you for sharing that.
My pleasure.
Yeah.
So we are at the Do More Good conference right now. And so kind of one of the big focal points of the conversations happening are around the impact space and social like cause and how do you have your business stand for purpose. And so as Gallup has been kind of probably watching this and investigating and researching that effect on the workplace, what are you kind of finding and what are some maybe the key things that you would take out and maybe recommend people think about as they go to start purpose within their organization?
So excellent question. So there's things that we've been talking and listening to our clients in the market about around purpose and culture. And what we're beginning to discover is that the investors and the boards of organizations are the ones who are helping to shape this conversation in a new and different way than mm-hmm. ever before. Because they believe that it's their responsibility to have an ongoing organization for perpetuity or however long it needs to be. And there are two things that are missing in most organizations. And we talk about purpose. It's a nice word. I like soul better. What's the soul of your organization?
Mm. I like that.
That's good. Aside from making money, why are you here as an organization? What is your unique need to serve the world? And oh, by the way, serving people candy bars when they get hangry is a good purpose, a noble cause, right?
It
so
is.
That we don't have any problems around that. And just making sure that you understand who you are and what you're trying to drive towards. And then how does that purpose connect to your culture through the values of your organization and how is it reinforced by your leader's behavior is the thing that we're seeing more and more of in terms of things that are going out there. And we're finding that most organizations, when you really get into the purpose mm-hmm. of the organization and you ask the employees, they feel that the purpose is to make money. Or more specifically, to make money for certain people inside of the organization
right.
mm-hmm. and not to drive a higher order benefit. But a lot of times you can uncover just by simply going through history, the artifacts of that organization, what the founders of that mm-hmm. of that group were looking for when they wanted to go. And then you find it in pockets of people. And then all you have to do is sort of dust it off, modernize it, and then instill it back into the organization and start to celebrate it. Mm-hmm. And you can turn that really quickly. Because all of us want to come to something that's trying to do something bigger than ourselves. And when we can actually articulate that in a very clear way, the value proposition is clear to customers, but it's also as clear to your workers
right.
and your potential workers. When they're mm-hmm. looking and saying, I can apply my skills in 3, 4, 5 different places, what is it that you're uniquely going to give to me in a value proposition? And that is your purpose. And, and the culture is the environment that you get to do it in.
That level of transparency just like spikes buy-in, right? And I think that's huge.
Mm-hmm.
So so we're going to move to lightning round. I just named that.
I like it.
Yeah,
that's a good name.
Dustin,
we'll
you're
going
to have to like come up with like a sound bite that like anytime we say lightning round, it's like lightning round.
And Dustin's our amazing producer. Yeah. I don't think we've ever introed him. So
you can soundboard some stuff though, right? Like,
yeah,
you got it. Yeah, I like that.
That's like my best beatbox I think I'll ever do right there.
It was solid.
That's
all I got. Lightning round.
So lightning round, that's where we're going to be talking with folks that, you know, listen to the show. They send in questions for us to ask you today. So we've got a few that we want to tee up. The first one is from, let's look here, sorry, Jessica. She says, Ed, I see that you listed your top 5 Clifton strengths as strategic, individualization, realtor, developer, and activator.
We share so many of the same.
Do you guys?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. How do your unique strengths help you create greater impacts both for your employees and your customers?
Oh my gosh, that's such a great question. Lightning, right? So really quickly, I think a couple of things. First is I'll talk about one that is in my top 5 and then the other one that's in my next 5 that I just find I wind up using an awful lot. So the combination of individualization and developer, I am desperate to teach people and to teach one person at a time the things that I know and try and get them to understand how they can be better at their job. And then there's a secret one that I have in my next five called empathy. And empathy, if you if you study it from a CliftonStrengths standpoint, it means you have the ability to understand and read other people. And so that's why I love to be in the room with people, because you can watch facial expressions and body language and all of those other things that tell you, okay, this message is not landing. Boy, boy, I am making somebody really angry at that. And so those are the three that I use out of my five, I think more often than not. So.
Safe to say Ed can read a room then, right?
Yeah.
he thinks he can, or at least he tries to. He aspires to.
Awesome. I'm working on it. We're getting there. So
life's a journey.
It is. Okay, so we'll do, thank you for sharing that. That was awesome. We'll do one more. We've got, let's see, Tyler here. How is Gallup uniquely positioned to make a change in the market and do more good in the community?
I think many of the principles that the Do More Good conference are talking about, we've been modeling and living for a long period of time. But I think we're uniquely positioned to do that because we have a foundation of science. So when we actually show up and advise organizations on what to go do, we're not making it up, so to speak. We're actually bringing you data in terms of things that we've seen work in other organizations. And I think those two are important, but probably the most important one is that our organization is founded on the principle of the study of excellence. And so we believe that every organization already has what they want inside of it. Our job is to go find it, figure out why it worked, and how to make it more repeatable. And so when organizations are searching for something and they're searching outside of themselves for the answer, we think that's the wrong place. We think that the right place to find it is the people, the divisions, the groups, the teams, whoever it is that are already living things exactly the right way. They're already there. Your best practices exist. Find them, dust them off, celebrate them, and then make them repeatable. I think that's how we're uniquely positioned to do something.
Yeah, I think that's great. That's awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that. This has been an amazing conversation. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Like your brain is unreal. I like picking it. It's good fun. So,
well, I'd be happy to do it again at any time.
No, I think that'd be great. Well, I mean, you're just up in Omaha.
I was going to say I'm an Omaha person as well, so we could take the podcast up downtown.
We'll go on the road.
Bit.
Is the road show?
It is a road show. Only an hour for this one, but it'll be good.
Yeah, would Omaha be considered a road show though?
It's a good start. Yeah. Okay. We'd have to drive. It's like 45 minutes.
You start local, right? Like, we don't go tour the coast until we tackle the region. Baby steps.
Perfect.
Well, thank you so much for joining us on the show today, Ed. For any of our listeners out there that want to like connect with your work and connect with your organization, what's the best way to do that? Like the website, social media?
Yep.
So hit us with that real quick.
So on Gallup.com, there's a place that you can go and subscribe to something we call the Future of Work, which is an email communication with some of the best things that we're studying, publications that we have, perspective papers. So if you went online there and registered for that, you could get a taste of some of the things that we're doing and some of the things that we're learning from other organizations.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
Very good. Well, thank you so much, Ed. We really appreciate it.
I do as well. Thanks.
Good. So many things to take back to the team. I just think there's something that I feel like as a manager, sometimes we lose sight of is, and that's listening and watching and seeing what others are doing. I don't know about you, but I just think.
Well, when you feel like you're in the weeds, right?
Yeah.
It's so easy to just like
make let excuse.
Yeah, exactly. And like let certain things wash over you and like being mindful and present. I think, you know, I think that's very important.
Yeah. And I just think something else that really resonated is even for the smaller companies or mid-size where you don't have the infrastructure to where you have a team that's dedicated to helping think of these things for you, but just making sure that you're building this team that's a true team nature. And so who has the best friend at work? And if you don't feel like you have a team member that has that, they're probably at risk.
Right.
And if they're a valued team member, how can you create a world around them to make them feel like they're being pulled in? Mm-hmm. So that's like a giant takeaway from that moment, that you don't have to have a person who's certified to do the things, but that you can just watch.
Just need a homie sometimes.
Just gotta look, just be a friend.
Yeah, like being lonely or being isolated is so dangerous.
Yes.
You know, I think that that's a very, very slippery slope and a very fast way for somebody to look outside, right?
Like
I told the story of what my dad taught me as a kid, and it's like, that's the norm. So many people are trying to change external circumstance to make them happy or make them feel a certain way or give them satisfaction. And it's a game of cat and mouse that they're going to play forever until they realize, until it starts inside you, none of the outside crap matters. Exactly. You know what I mean? So yeah, this one was heavy and I liked it. This is fun.
Me too.
So, all right. Well, as always, Angie, thank you for like letting me be a part of this and
thank
just
you.
Crushing. Like,
super fun. Always.
It's always fun. So you guys, thank you so much for tuning into the episode today. Make sure that you connect with us on all of our social media platforms. Don't hesitate to shoot over questions or like ideas for people that you think we should be talking to. We would love to hop in and have a conversation with you and just make sure that we're plugged in and connected, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, I think so.
It's all about the listening.
That's all it is. So, all right, guys. Well, until next time, I'm Andrew.
And I'm Angie.
And we'll catch you on the flip.
I am Tuesday, the day of the week that is most often forgotten. Now, I may not have the pizzazz of a Wednesday or the zing of a Thursday, but I do have a 6-inch oven roasted chicken for just $3.49 at Subway restaurants. With the sub of the day, it's a different 6-inch sub each day for just $3.49. So I guess Tuesdays are pretty terrific after all. Subway, make it what you want. At participating restaurants, additional charge for extras plus applicable tax. No additional discounts or coupons may be applied.
You do it right to save because you work too hard for your money not to. Lowe's is here to help with special Labor Day savings throughout the store. When you buy a DeWalt two-tool combo kit featuring a drill and impact driver, you get a DeWalt bare tool for free. Choose from a reciprocating or circular saw, angle grinder, or 20-volt battery. And update your appliances and get up to 40% off select appliance special values. This Labor Day, do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Tool offer valid through 8/28. Appliance offer valid through 9/11, U.S. only.
Now's the time to travel and be with the people you care about the most. And at Holiday Inn and Holiday Inn Express, we're helping you be there for less. Save at least 25% at thousands of hotels worldwide if you book by September 24th. You won't want this moment to pass you by. So book today at holidayinn.com. Terms and conditions apply.